Sipping coffee, he played the 24 bars over and over, using a light pen to isolate four voices. He set the roll to try different instrumentations, reluctantly admitting that the solo voice couldn't be a cello. Clarinet or even oboe. He played with the phrasing of the oboe and turned it into a parody of Rimsky-Korsakov, which he saved as joke one. Then he returned to the original phrasing, dropped the solo an octave, and tried it with bassoon, and then bass clarinet. Odd, but good. He saved it as BC1, and got up to stretch and walk around. Tense. He locked himself in his office, undressed, and gave himself an erection. From a locked drawer, he took a VR girdle and goggles and gloves, and a highly illegal, because it was homosexual, compact ring. It was called Scheherazade. He'd bought it because the boys reminded him of Kabil Rabin. He set the CR on the stereo spindle and hurriedly fixed the girdle over his genitals, around his waist, and between his legs. He rolled on the gloves and slipped the goggles over his head, put the earplugs in and said, "Go." It was a harem scene. Seven young men lounging naked on silken pillows, chatting, sipping coffee from small cups. There was a random function that determined which boy would show interest. If the customer wanted a different one, he could say, "Reset." Norman liked them all. One of them looked at him and smiled and said something in Arabic. He set down his coffee and gracefully uncoiled from his supine position, becoming erect as he walked toward Norman. A part of his mind always marveled at the technology. The boy gently took hold of his penis and cradled his testicles and drifted to his knees. Norman stared at the top of the boy's close-cropped head as he gently filleted him. With a couple of words, he could switch to anal sex, active or passive, but this was enough for him. He watched the other boys having fun with each other while they watched him and his virtual partner. That part felt fake, or at least too staged, since it was always the same, a kind of moving erotic wallpaper. After a few minutes, he knew he couldn't delay any longer, or his body would lose the illusion and melt. So he pushed a couple of times and ejaculated. The boy stood up while the whole scene faded into gray mist. He walked into the bathroom with his silly-looking garb and carefully unwrapped the girdle, everted, and scrubbed it. Then he patted it dry with a towel, folded everything together, and returned it to his hiding place. He lay down on the couch and asked the room for Rimsky-Korsakov and closed his eyes for a few minutes. He only half slept, thinking about the composition. If a bass clarinet was going to take the melody, he wanted another line, a bass viol in a slow pedal, doubled with one of the violins here and there, a quiet percussion rattle like a distant woodpecker, signaling the measures where the two came together, two octaves apart, and a metallic tapping, like a muted triangle, doing 5-4 against their 4-4. He got up and dressed, running through the changes in his mind. He went back to the great room and snapped on the Roland, but then saw that the phone was blinking. The call hadn't come in while he was napping, thank goodness. He would have lost his train of thought. It had come while he had the earplugs in, getting blown by a ghost. Probably a middle-aged man by now, like Rabin. He keyed in the bass viol and adjusted the second violin. He couldn't quite get the percussion he wanted, so he left it off and wrote a note over the staff. He'd call Billy Kay this evening and have him send something over. He stocked a cube of foreign percussion effects. After he was satisfied that he'd written everything down, he went to the phone. Two calls. The first was a man he didn't recognize. Row upon row of paper books behind him, matched leather bindings, identifying them as Florida statutes. A rich lawyer. Couldn't be good news. It was worse than he could have imagined. He smiled politely and nodded. "Professor Bell, I have a client who has something of value to you. Silence. About you and a certain policeman. We will be having lunch at the rear table at Alice's tea room at noon today. Noon. If you're not there, we'll go to the police. You've met my client, Guillaume Capra?" That's slimeball Willie Joe. "Surprisingly, he has many friends on the police force." The man disappeared. Norman played it back and it didn't improve. He erased it and sat back to think, but nothing came. nothing but rising panic. He went to the kitchen and got a wine glass, then opened the wine cabinet and closed it again. Instead, he poured an inch of brandy. He sat at the breakfast table and took one sip. Then he poured it out and rinsed the glass. No answer there. What a lovely world this was. Maybe they were only going to threaten to expose him to Rory. Big surprise. It would take some play acting, but they could simulate an outraged wife and penitent husband. But no, not in this day and age. They would threaten his career and Rory's too. Could Kabil be behind it? No. He'd lose even more than them. His fellow officers would not be amused. He talked to Rory after work. First find out what the blackmailer wanted. He realized he couldn't say within $1 million either way how much money they had. Better find out before lunch. He checked his watch. 2 hours. He went to call the bank and remember the second message. It was Rory asking him to call. He punched index 1.